here until 12:30, where Deion Miller picks it up with the pregame for the White Sox and Diamondbacks. White Sox trying to grab at least just one of three at home against the losing Diamondbacks. 12:30, the pregame. Connor and DJ on the call. First pitch at 1:10. Dylan Cease on the mound. Needs to see some offense today. So Joe Brian wants to jump in on ESPN 1000 from Mundelein. What up, Joe?
Welcome, Joe.
Yeah, I've been a Sox fan 70 years, and I want to know, where is Rick Hahn during all this? He put this team together. It is deplorable what he put on the field. No right fielder, no left fielder, a catching that can't even is deplorable. Second base, they don't know what they're doing. And Makata, great defense when he shows up. I listened to your program yesterday. I couldn't get out of the car because it was so interesting about the ownership. And you make a really good point. The owners don't collect until they get their money. Are they going to sell this team to Vegas?
I don't know what their intentions are, but that's when.
Thanks, Joe.
For those who weren't listening yesterday, I was told by someone who's well aware of the ownership structure that it's not a year-to-year basis. It's not how much revenue they're generating. It's not.
It's
how
not
many
about winning.
Not necessarily. And we heard, you know, Jesse Rogers joined us and said, you know, they're one of four teams that won't give out $100 million contracts.
Which is old school. It's too old school. And the fact is, they're about winning if it fits their business plan.
Right. And they don't allow opt-outs. So if you're a superstar and you want to opt out 2 years into a five-year deal, thanks but no thanks, we have no interest in you, which automatically would curtail your chase of elite talent, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Agents aren't going to say, oh, okay.
Not when every other team is like, yeah, we're all about it.
Yeah, not when 26 other teams are all about that. But that said, that it doesn't matter if they're only, you know, is the conversation started was, well, I mean, it doesn't seem like Jerry really is maximizing revenue. You know, if you're averaging 23,000 in the north side, just opens the gates and they get 30,000 even when they're, you know, putting out whatever they're putting out this year. If I was an owner, I'm like, hey, can we step up our game and you know, go out and get Bryce Harper or actually land a guy like that? And I was told no, because it's like a long-term bond. You just, all the owners will get paid, and Jerry owns about 20% of the team. He's the chairman. He makes the decisions, and they all trust him.
And that's why he gets all the attention. But, you know, just because he's the chairman, you would think that he would have had a bigger piece of the team, which is fascinating to a lot of people.
But the fact of the matter is that everyone who signed on to that knew what the payoff was, and I was told the payoff is if and when they sell, and it's appreciated from $19 million over the decades to $1.76 billion, Forbes says.
Which is
maybe
a nice markup, and it's not valued as other teams are, but when you're making that kind of margin.
That's when they get their money. If and when Jerry says it's time to sell, and then they'll all get their big check.
So does that sound like you can put a winning team together under that business approach?
Well, I mean, you can put a playoff team together. We saw it last year, right? But they flamed out in the first series, and now it looks like they're not even going to, you know, get into the.
And
first
this was
series.
The year they're going to win it all. We were told.
Well, I used the word when you asked what word would you use to describe your feeling. I duped, because like you, I bought the bill of goods, and
yes.
I thought, okay.
Mm-hmm. You know. And we had reason to, right? Not just because of what Rick Hahn said, but we had players. We saw what they could do, at least in a very short amount of time, and thought, okay, we've got these young studs. This was a big trade we made with the Cubs to get Jimenez. Luis Robert, he's been great. And you know what? He's had some injury problems, but Luis is not a complaint of mine. It's Grandal, Moncada are the big ones.
And Rick Hahn for not.
And Rick Hahn. Right. I'm talking about players, but Rick Hahn, absolutely.
Because our caller just went through it. And, you know, Jesse's been talking about no left-handed power forever. No power, period. And, you know, tell me about the injuries all you want. Everyone has them. Maybe not to this degree. The Cubs have, again, not the expectations were nil, but they've used many more players throughout their season than the White Sox have in games. But the fact of the matter is, I went over it yesterday. The ERA, the teams are almost identical. And all we were told is this bullpen is among the best in baseball.
That's insane. Hey, we've got Vincent. We're talking about, you just brought up injuries. Vincent wants to jump in from Rogers Park. I think he probably wants to hit on that. Hey, Vincent, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how are you? Throughout the season, we've been blaming all sorts of people for the White Sox struggles, Tony La Russa, ownership, X, Y, and Z.
A lot of fingers to point.
But are there some fingers to point at the training staff? I mean, I know we had a shortened spring training this year, but, I mean, Grandal has
so
been
did
hurt
other teams,
all year.
Though, right?
Everyone did.
Yeah. Moncada's been hurt. Eloy's been hurt. Lance Lynn is hurt. Kopech has been hurt. Crochet out for the year. Mendick, I know that kind of wasn't his fault.
Robert's been banged up too.
Luis Robert. Yeah. There's been so many injuries. I just wanted to get your take on is the training staff culpable?
Well, Vincent, I don't know. I'm not qualified to answer that. It would seem that there's got to be something there, but to what degree?
And I'm with you, Mark. Everything should be on the table for CSI White Sox after this season.
That is a brilliant. You know, I'm going to watch The Bear. Well, actually, I finished The Bear. Now, that should be the next FX series. CSI White Sox, or whoever does the CSI franchise.
And CSI is whatever. I mean,
CSI White Sox.
Whenever you're going to dissect the season and all that went wrong, and unfortunately, the owner, we know, isn't going to change the manager unless Tony goes to him and says, you know, it didn't work out, and you're taking a lot of heat, and it's time for me to move on. But I don't think that's Tony. I don't think Tony's going off on a losing note and a losing record, if it's a losing record. I mean, even if it's a 500 middling record, I don't think Tony's ego would allow him to walk away from this thing. And he
well, maybe he'll just get tired. It won't be a question of ego.
Well,
he's
he was
just tired
when he came in.
Well, and we've seen him tired during games. I get
that.
Oh,
good Lord. I mean, but everything. Look, 90, and I know people don't think the manager matters. Jesse said it yesterday. Yes, they do. And I'm with them.
They do. They do.
They do.
Absolutely.
Any other situation, you know, if his name wasn't Tony La Russa and the owner's name wasn't Jerry Reinsdorf, he would have been fired six times by now. Just because it's what you do in baseball.
Hey, here's a question. A.J. Hinch, that was the rumored choice of Rick Hahn. If La Russa wasn't forced down his throat, would we, under A.J. Hinch, be in this situation right now?
It's
hard to say. I know that, but I'd like to think probably not.
I haven't been watching enough of the Tigers to know, you know, what exactly, how that went off the rails as quickly as it did, right? But, you know, you look at what the Phillies did, and they launched Joe Girardi, and it happens. Sometimes it's just a bump for a couple weeks. Well, that's been a bump for a couple months, and they're playing playoff-type baseball now.
Now,
right?
Toronto bounced their head coach, or their manager, I should say.
Like in the first month, right?
No. It was after the Phillies made the change.
Yeah, it was after
that. And it was a surprise. And I'm not sure what their record has been since then. If that's
they've been pounding the Yankees of late. I mean,
it probably has made some sort of positive difference. Certainly it has with the Phillies.
Oh, it absolutely has with the Phillies. I mean, there's no arguing that. But, I mean, the point is that the team's expectations would have dictated a change at a minimum in the dugout at certain points of the season, and certainly with some of the questionable, you know, decisions in game, let alone the attitude of the team or lack of energy.
See, that's the stuff we see, right, Brian? The questionable decisions in game, it's like, okay, this is obviously not working. But what behind the scenes that we're not seeing is not working. You could read body language. There's no urgency.
Yeah. No.
Slouching. You know, okay, you get a couple of games in a row. They start getting happy. They lose one. It throws them off track. Then they're back to the slouching and just dour faces and no urgency. And, it just isn't the right feel.
Right. And it's been going on in baseball forever where you don't change out 25 players, 26, whatever, that you change out the manager, right?
Yep.
That's what you do. And it doesn't mean you get the Phillies result or effect, but it's at some point you say, this isn't working. And like I said, if Frank Menachino is the only change and I'm not even guaranteed that's a change coming. I mean, I would not be shocked if nothing changed, because that would be so White
Sox. And that's sad, but yeah. You're right. That would be so White Sox.
Right. I mean, and I think most White Sox fans' worlds, there should be massive change.
Absolutely.
Everything should be on the table. Okay, why did this happen? Why did all the injuries happen? Why did, you know, why do we lose the first game of every series two out of three times? Why is it that, you know, our bullpen wasn't nearly what we thought it was? Yeah. Why do we make errors on the base path? Where's our baseball IQ?
River Grove. George wants to talk about change here. Let's get him in on ESPN 1000. Hey, George.
Everything must change. Everything must change. And whoever said nothing will change, you hit it right on the head. These people.
Well, it's so White Sox, right? If nothing changes, if they believe that everything is okay?
No, I'm saying that the people that run the show don't want it. They don't even change their underwear. Okay? They don't want nothing to change. They want to keep on cashing their paychecks. You see, that's square one. And if they can't, if they're out, if they change something, they're afraid that they'll lose their job, you see. And so they're not changing nothing. That's the sad part. What you have to understand is that there's 30 teams all trying to, 30 organizations, they're all trying to do the same thing you're doing. And so what you have to understand is that there can be only one. And if you're not one of the top four or five teams, then whatever you're doing is wrong and you have to change up. That's what makes the world go round. You have to identify and eliminate your own self-destructive tendencies. Otherwise, you will never maximize your performance success. You must strike out into uncharted territory. And this organization...
That's not Jerry Reinsdorf at all.
That's exactamundo. Very good, sir.
All right. Thank you, Fonzie. All right, George from River Grove. I think that's where it comes from. Exactamundo. Hey.
Think the front office changes their Brady underwear?
I see. I was thinking the same thing. You're way too young to have that kind of approach there, Jake Cantu. But I thought the same thing as soon as George said it. We started the show talking about going
full
off
circle.
Our tongue.
For a little circle, we always find it.
Yeah, always find it eventually. Sometimes it's a rocky trip there, but we can get there. All right, 312-332-3776. Ken is on hold. We'll get him on the other side of the break. We'll wrap up the Twitter polls and get you ready for pregame.
I have an injury to talk about after the break, too.
Did you pull a hammy?
No. Okay. But it happened in a football game yesterday, and I think we need to talk about it. And you know, thankfully, Justin Fields was very healthy and had a good game. But things can happen in the preseason
game. We'll hit upon it. We'll do that after this on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
This is Sander and Hanley on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
ESPN 1000 breaking news. Hanley pulled a hammy or a groin yesterday watching college football. Is that what you said? Do I have that wrong?
No. It reminds me of Brian Sutter one time. Someone pulled a groin for the second time in a season, and he's at the podium. He said, good thing he only has two. Brian went exactly bedside manner when it came to injuries. So the Baltimore Ravens, we talked, Sam Darnold has a high ankle sprain, which sometimes can be worse than a break, right? Because it the tissue injury, it takes much longer, but they say 4 to 6 weeks. So Carolina will be, I guess Baker Mayfield gets to step up and not just do commercials, but throw the ball again.
He doesn't live in that Cleveland stadium anymore.
No, they may turn over the 200 keys that he had on the ring.
Right.
I think some people, that whole thing is icky with the Deshaun Watson thing.
Bad news. Again, that's the, if we have to find a way to say pace, job well done, I know it's real hard, but we didn't get to Deshaun Watson. For a while there, we thought that was a miss.
Yeah, like a huge miss.
That was a hit, as we found out now.
Okay, so the Baltimore Ravens last night had an injury. The mascot, Poe, as in Edgar Allen, went down on the field in a halftime game. The mascot with the feathers took a tumble. They were having a halftime game where the Amateur Athletic Union Baltimore youth football team was playing against a team of mascots, including the University of Delaware's UD and the Baltimore Orioles Bird and the Washington Capitals Slapshot. Tough to get all those guys in the same spot on the same day. They had to clear the calendars.
Yeah, sure.
It was a fun game, which featured a touchdown by the Oriole Bird. He's a keeper in your fantasy league. Came to a scary halt after Poe tried to escape an opponent's tackle, according to the Baltimore Sun. And Poe was carted off the field. I mean, it's not, you know.
Is that a special stretcher for a mascot?
Yeah, it's an oversized stretcher.
Their heads are huge.
Yeah, and I don't think, and look, he didn't take his hat. You're not, as a mascot, you never take the head off, right? No matter.
That is a special, like, special stretcher. I didn't know that you needed one.
No, I mean, you're not allowed. It's like the part of the rule book. You never ruin the illusion, right? So you can't, even if the doctor wants to take a look at you. But Poe immediately used his feathers to grab his leg after the fall, and the medical staff soared to his aid. Oh, well, that's creative writing right there.
There's the writer and Brian Hanley right there.
No, I didn't write it. Somebody else. I wouldn't write. Yeah, that wouldn't get past the copy desk back when they had them. The staff carted the bird off the field before the second half of the game. He was heard to say nevermore on his way out. Oh, no, that's an extra output. But he gave the thumbs up, and they had to find a substitution.
What, there's like three fingers on each hand for a mascot, so you think it's the thumb.
Whatever. But they had to find, apparently there's a backup mascot waiting in the wings.
Is there really?
See what I did there? Yeah, waiting in the wings.
Waiting in the wings.
And so, you know, the second string Poe took over after the game.
So how is there an IL listing on online for all the mascots there on injured reserve?
Yeah, I don't know. And I would like an update today.
They day to day. Is he day to day?
Oh, who isn't?
well, that's true.
Well, and this goes back. It says in the story, Poe isn't the first mascot to be carted off the field for an injury. Your guy, Chip the Buffalo, University of Colorado.
My guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Shot himself with a T-shirt cannon in 2018. He had it pointed the wrong way. And which, I mean,
he just jacked himself in the face with the T-shirt gun?
In the gut.
Oh, in the gut, right.
And those things can
reach. Because that'll knock your head off. And, of course, you can't have your head come off if you're a mascot.
No, not as a mascot. Absolutely not. You're not allowed.
So he took one to the tummy.
Oh, I hope it was the tummy.
And usually the mascots have, like, a padded tummy. You would think that would have helped. Maybe not.
Well, I mean, those things can reach like, the second balcony,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. You're taking a shot. That's a shot. You're taking a shot.
If it wasn't the gut, if it was south of the border, Chip's not having any little chips.
And I didn't know what. You know what? If there is not a movement for mascots to wear cups, there should be none.
Well, mascot safety should be paramount.
Absolutely. I think there's OSHA requirements, I'm sure.
Oh, good Lord. And he went down like he was shot, because he was.
Of course.
Yeah.
I would have, too.
And I don't know if the backup mascot was Chip off the old block.
But, oh, jeez. Here we go. But, now, you wrote that.
I don't know if you saw, too. Speaking of injuries, I thought one of those kids were going to get injured. I don't know if you saw Blooper, the Atlanta Braves mascot. While they were playing the game, there was a run he took on the outside, and he threw about stiff-arm like four kids going to the end.
Really?
Yeah. It was all over sports.
Somebody needs to have a talk with the guy inside of that suit saying, you know what? I know that you think you're cool knocking down the kids, but it's not a good look. The mascots are happy and fun. They're the friends of the kids.
Well, didn't the San Diego Chicken, Ted Julianis or whatever, didn't he run into a little issue? Because when he was in the chicken outfit, he got a little touchy-feely with some people.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did. Yeah. See, you can use that outfit for so many excuses.
Yeah, right. I mean, things you get arrested
things
on.
Things you can get away with as a mascot.
Yeah, things you would get arrested. Well, maybe not in Chicago. They'd probably put you on electronic monitoring and you'd be out in an hour. But, yeah, things you really can't go grabbing people in their privates. But some mascots.
They got away with it, but the world is catching up to mascots now, too.
Yeah.
So if you're a mascot, keep your head on and keep yourself in the straight and narrow.
Anyway, thoughts and prayers to Poe.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's tough news, Brian.
Look, NFL, it's a tough game. And, it happens in the preseason. This is why a lot of teams won't play their mascots during the preseason.
Absolutely not. Right. No, you have your fourth stringer mascots.
Yeah. And I saw how much Benny the Bull made it one year in a couple of years. I mean, he was really good. The guy, you know, he's moved on. But he was clocking in like $250,000 a year.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the good ones, they bank, right?
Mm-hmm. But you have to stay healthy.
I don't know if he got to take the Benny Mobile with him when he retired, but
trick is you have to stay healthy. Have to stay. There's no guaranteed money for a mascot.
The best ability is availability, right?
Yep, that's what I hear. Yeah. All right, so Twitter polls. We have to wrap them up. First one, Brian, which team will be the first to make the playoffs?
Sky's in the playoffs.
Yeah, the Sky is in the playoffs, so the next team to make the playoffs, which would be your choice between the Bears, Blackhawks, Cubs, White Sox. Jake Cantu has the look at this Twitter poll and how it's turned out.
The Sky play tonight at 7:30.
They do.
Playoff game. Just
congrats to the Sky
again. This is the closest one I think that we've ever had. Which team will be the first to make the playoffs? And it's almost a tie with the Bears edging it out, 39.8%. The White Sox at 38.3%. And I can't believe I used the word edge.
Think about that, though. I mean, the Bears are starting a rebuild, and they're basically neck and neck with
the
White Sox.
So here's what happened, right? The Bears won yesterday, and Justin looked good, so everybody's high
recency
over that.
Recency bias.
Yeah, recency bias. And the White Sox, just because we've been told what they should be.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, but still, I guess there's hope. I don't know what people are smoking.
I mean, boy, oof.
Yeah. After watching the preseason, what is your confidence level in the Bears? Four choices. More confident, less confident, same, or wake me up in 2024. What's it look like, Jake?
Well, I think the fans who voted also had some streamers and balloons out because they're more confident at 50.3% with the Bears.
And why wouldn't you be?
You know what? I mean, right. It's early celebration, but we deserve as much. We deserve to see something positive and be happy about it.
Yeah. I like what I've seen. I mean, it looks like professionals are running the outfit. Doesn't mean it guarantees you anything, but it's better than
nobody's talking Super Bowl here, but we are talking improvement.
No.
And the bar was low, but that's okay.
And the bar is still low.
Every week, it just inches up. Inches up. All right, we brought the Xander Rock poll back because summer's still around. It ain't over till it's over, but we've had a full slate of spring and summer concerts after the pandemic locked things down for a couple years. Wondering what your concert style is. On a blanket at Ravinia, mosh pit at the Aragon, seats at the amphitheater. What's that look like, Jake?
Amphitheater runs away with this poll with 55.1%.
All right, yeah, that's right in the middle there, right, Brian? That's kind of maybe you won't go to an amphitheater, but that's a band that's right in the middle. That's if you're going to a show and you're at a mosh pit at the Aragon, you're in it. And if you're on a blanket at Ravinia, that is very, very casual, like almost like a concert's not happening. I was at Ravinia, and I saw Santana there. I did not do the on-the-blanket stuff. I went right to the auditorium, got the seat, had to see the band.
Yeah.
You're too far removed otherwise.
Exactly. There's a connection. I mean, that's what makes a concert great. There's a back and forth and an energy,
I did have
right?
cheese, though.
Well, yeah, I love cheese. I always have cheese. But also, I mean, I like a seat back. If I'm not standing, you know, the laying on the blanket thing, that gets old in about 20 minutes.
Yes, especially us old guys. Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap things up here. Pre-game with Dion Miller next, and Connor and DJ on the call. First pitch at 1:10. Sox taking on the Diamondbacks. Dylan Cease is on the mound. Zach Davies for the other guys. We got to pull one out and get one win. Yeah. And hopefully we can get that done. Thank you to Courtney Cronin. She joined us on the program today to talk Bears. Thank you to Jake Cantu. Perfectly run show as usual. Brian, always a slice. We'll see you again next weekend here on ESPN 1000. Everybody enjoy your day and let's go White Sox.